Quiet on set, quiet on set.
I guess we should probably kick it off with a cheers, if everyone will raise their glasses. All right, let's go ahead and we'll raise our glasses to a great Sunday surrounded by friends, really good music coming up, and to the end of the year, man. Hopefully all of you had a great year, all right?
Amen. Cheers. Hallelujah. Cheers.
I should have said next spin in that too. Yeah, that too. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and all that. I should have said cheers to next spin.
I'm like, Yaya is no longer single. No.
But hey, she got to make money somehow.
Oh, yo, shit.
Look what 2 months after the podcast. Was it last episode we were all like, and Yaya.
We did really good advertising, is what it was.
Wrong. Not. Damn, that's right.
You guys manifested
that's right.
It for
I like that, Adrian.
You guys all manifested
I like that.
It.
Look at the power of the podcast. That's remember. Right. Four best record collecting podcast.
Number four.
And a matchmaker at that word. All right. All right. We're going to get started. All right. Yo, Spinheads, welcome to another episode of the Next Spin podcast. And to any new listeners joining us for the first time, yeah, welcome to the club. We're the Next Spin crew, a vinyl collective based out of Jacksonville, Florida. And we're all friends here united by a love of music in the analog form. And here for another monthly themed vinyl meetup. This is episode 8, and this month's meetup is all about the best music and records we bought in 2021, as selected by our fearless leader, Tony Smilajic. You'll hear from him, and he'll introduce the theme here soon. But before that, allow me to introduce myself and the rest of the Next Spin crew. My name is Bader Milligan, and I'm one of four hosts that make up this show. And joining me are my co-hosts, like the Don himself. Don't come to him. On the day of his daughter's wedding,
don't do it.
Asking any favors, all right? Mr. Adrian Ross is here with us. Round of snaps for my man.
Snap it up for me, y'all. Snap it up for me.
That's Adrian Ross. Next up is a voice that you can hear now every morning on Flow 105.3, if you get that station. But she's kind enough to waive her normal talent fee to be here with us. Let's put it together for Yanira Cardona, a.k.a.
Hey.
Yaya.
Hey.
Hey. Congratulations, mama.
Thank you.
And this wouldn't be a Next Spin meetup if you didn't hear this man's deep, rich, baritone voice on the mic. He's so low-key, you probably wouldn't recognize him on the street. So don't be ashamed if you have to ask yourself, man, is that Fred? Because it probably is.
Hence the name of the Instagram.
You see how I work the Instagram name? Yeah, you know, Fred,
yeah, that might be the best intro I've received in my entire life.
Let's give a round of snaps for Fred, Freddie Douglas, on mic number four. We're also joined by a band of friends in the room with us, serving as our live studio audience. So I'd like to give you guys a round of snaps. Woo! Thank you guys for joining us another month. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Michael is here with us today as well. You might remember him from our Gay Icons episode, which was episode 3 of the podcast.
As he wore his Mariah Carey.
Wore his Mariah Carey shirt.
The Gay Icon is back, and I'm here, you know, sporting my Mariah shirt as the lamb that I am. So
the reason we know, me and Adrian at least, know what a lamely is.
Yes.
Yeah,
you know, he's
Adrian
here with
actually
us.
Asked me like, "Oh, are you part of the Lamely?" When I came in here,
I'm learning.
So now he knows.
I'm learning.
And yeah,
Michael told him I'm a 4-star general
That's
in the
right.
Lamely Army. All right, and one more thing to mention before we get into the main event: make sure that you're following the podcast and the group on Instagram at NextSpin. That's 2 X's. You can see pictures from this meetup as well as keep up with our weekly top 5 playlist. We've got a Spotify version and an Apple Music version that we all contribute to. That's all available on the Instagram, like I said, at NextSpin with 2 X's. With the house cleaning out the way, it's time to get this show started. Like I mentioned at the very tippy top, this month's meetup is all about the best of year, including our personal favorite music and albums that came out this year, as well as the best records we purchased in 2021. This theme was the brainchild of Tony, who's normally pretty silent on these podcasts. You more so hear his camera snapping in the back before you hear his voice. But, you know, it's Christmas time, and I asked for a Christmas miracle. I asked Tony, will you get on the mics and at least kick off the show and tell us about your topic or about your theme and introduce it? So I'm going to pass my mic to Tony. Tony, tell us a little about today's or this month's theme.
Wait. So the theme of... Yeah, your favorite purchases of 2021. So not just music that came out this year, but I'd like to discuss the music that came out this year or your favorite albums or whatever, but your favorite purchases of the year. I don't know.
Thank you, Tony. A man of A man of very few words. Also, Tony is always confused when you ask him to do something you already asked him prior to do. No. I thought it was a good choice because, you know, it's just a good wrap up, right? I think everyone around this time of year tends to, like, you know, look back at their time. Like, hey, what did I do? What did I accomplish? How was the year? And usually this is around the same, at least we're recording on the same week that everyone was sharing their Spotify Wrapped wrap ups. So I thought it made for a pretty good episode to end the year with. So. But before we really get into that, I do want to, I made a joke about it in the beginning, but I feel like every episode, we tend to congratulate one person in specific for always just achieving some new goal in their professional life. So I wanted to go ahead and put a spotlight on Yanira and congratulate her for becoming a host of a Flow 105.3.
Thank you.
Last month, it was giving you props on Viva La Fiesta, and I think the month prior was... You saved some kids from a house fire. It's like, yo, every freaking month, Yanira.
It's been an amazing year, and I can only thank God for it, and my friends like you guys and my parents who have given me nothing but incredible support. But believe me, I've been through it. I have my stories. This is not, you know, a fairy tale story. You know, I went through times where I slept in my car, where I wanted to give up. You know, Tony knows more than anything what I've been through. So to finally have a year where I could be like, oh, God damn, it's been worth it. Like, oh, my God, all of it's worth it. It feels great. And I'm just excited for the future and to be able to say that I'm a female morning show host. Like, there's not a lot of female morning show hosts, especially in the urban world. All you hear is about Ricky Smiley. You know, the Breakfast Club is with two guys, and DJ Envy is really the one that runs the show. And then you have, but he runs the show. Like, she's on it, but he's the one that runs the show. And then you have Enrique Santos. So to have a female, like, you know, running is exciting and empowering. And I'm in Jacksonville. You can hear me in Charlotte, North Carolina. And pretty soon we're going to be in other markets. So it's just here to the top to be able to represent Jacksonville and all of our female vinyl clubbers.
Damn, you know, that was well said. You gave us a Grammy speech right there. That was a Grammy speech. That was fantastic. Well, yeah, how about you go ahead and kick us off and tell me or tell the listeners what's been your favorite music this year? I mean, and maybe let's keep it at just like your favorite albums of the year, and then we'll talk about the records here later.
I've been in the neo-soul and neo-soul vibe.
Alternative R&B, ma'am.
Yes. I am a salsera, but this year has been more on my neo side. And my favorite album was definitely Kali Uchi's album. It was her first Spanish album, really Spanglish. And it just got me... Every single song on the album is a hit for me. So that's been my vibe and my energy. And that's the album that I brought today, too. It was a birthday present that Tony brought me. So I'm a little bit cheating on that one. But it is my favorite. And the cover, like, I love that she's trying to keep the 80s vibe, you know, the 70s, 80s vibe always. So I love the pink covers with her naked body. Go ahead, Boo.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that cover too. Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned that.
Very nice.
And big shout out to Tony, the gift that keeps on giving. Not only giving gifts, but also gave us a theme today. Adrian, and that was really well said. You know, thank you so much for kind of consolidating that into one album. So I guess, Adrian, I'll look to you. What's been your favorite album of the year? For like, what's been your music taste like this year?
Yeah, man. So similar to Yanira, like, I, you know, definitely on the alternative R&B, not neo soul. I like the it's Sinead or Sinead Hartnett, but it's was it Always Is Too Late or something like that. Always Ready Is Too Late. That album was so fire. Like, if you guys haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. It came out like in March or April or May, something like that, earlier part of this year. But I've definitely been on the R&B like tip for a while. And then all Summer Walker's album is actually pretty good too. I really liked It's Over or Over It, or Still Over It. I don't know, whatever.
still over.
Yeah. That album is a banger. Is mad hits on that. So that's really the kind of like the tip that I've been on for a bit.
Well said.
Yeah.
What about you, Freddie? What's been your album of the year?
So I'm going to go based on my Apple Music.
Bring it on, baby. Yeah.
21 Replay.
Team Apple Music.
Fuck all y'all Spotify.
You know, and real quick, because I see you got the Apple Music equivalent, for anyone that doesn't know, is Apple Music Replay. Which
correct.
You got to kind of go on like a web browser to pull it up. It's not like up front facing. I think.
Mean, you know, it's just not thrown in our face. Like, hey, right. You know what
you're
you
right.
Listen to.
You're right. But I'm glad that as a fellow Apple Music, user, Freddie, you know, we team Apple Music over here, that we can actually join in. Because I'm the same way. Every year it's like, all right, Spotify, we get it. We get it.
We get it.
We get it.
They throwing the only trope they have out
for us. Y'all still look for it, though.
Yeah, we do. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, no, I guess it's my turn too.
I ain't gonna lie. I'm a little low-key. But well, I was...
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Fun. It's fun.
Like Christmas
it's fun.
Morning every year when you wake up and you see it, you're like, ooh, I'm ready for a treat today.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the kind of like the appeal and power of like the streaming services, like the social aspect that comes with like, you're not just streaming music, but there's like a social element to it. You know, yeah. You can invite friends to playlists and you can share like, yo, this is what my year's been looking like.
Which so is why Spotify fun. Is better, but we'll talk about it.
All right. They ain't been giving us no checks.
Thank
you, Michael. Thank you.
Freddie, back to you. What's your Apple Replay list looking like?
Album wise, I'm reading this right off Apple Music. It's telling me that Snow Allegra was the album I listened to the most this year. Album wise, not the song, but album wise. And I did, I got the vinyl. I was bumping it for months because it took forever to get the vinyl. I'm not going to get into that. But Snow Allegra, Tyler the Creator, also an honorable mention.
For sure. 100%.
Which, in my opinion, was maybe the best album out this year, in my opinion. Top three.
Okay. I'll allow it.
But I'll stick with those two for now because I know those are the two I listen to the most.
Bother. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my bad. I was hearing some static. I was trying to get the static under control. Michael, what about you? What did your... Matter of fact, Mike, do you have your Spotify rap readily available of any chance?
I could pull it up. Does Spotify give you the most listened to album? I don't know if it does.
Apple Music does.
No.
Spotify does because it did to me and it said that it was Kali Uchi. So okay. You just got to go through all the 500 slides they give you.
Oh, God.
But it's in there.
It definitely ain't
there.
Well, look, while you're looking that up, Michael, if you want to also share, what's been your favorite album of this year?
So I don't know if it was released this year or late last year, but regardless, this year it was getting bumped nonstop. Was Nati Peluso's Calambre.
Okay.
She's an Argentinian rapper, singer, and I like a lot of genre-bending people that just like kind of do whatever they want to do, and they're weird. I'm also a barb, so like I love Nicki Minaj. She does whatever she wants to do. So like people who do that and have that same energy to their music, I really like, and Nati kind of does that. She'll rap in like a weird kind of Spanish rap-ish thing where she makes really weird sounds with her voice and then she'll start singing. She has a great voice. She'll do salsa. She'll do trap.
She's good as hell.
She does a lot of different stuff. She does like, she went viral. She has a Colors performance where she was doing that hip to the hip, hip hoppa. Everyone was like, what the hell is this? And I was like, hell yeah, I love this shit. Yeah, so she's just one of those people where she has like a 10-track album and every song is like completely different. And then everything she's made after that has been, again, completely different. She's come out with a video called Vivid Así. I forget the name of the song. Vivid Así es Morir de Amor, something like that. And it's just like so, she's just so different. Everything I see of her, even if I don't really vibe with it, it's still like something where she's creatively just pushing herself. And I really, really enjoy that. So I always kind of support her. But like this album in general, so dope. I want to get the vinyl so bad. I haven't gotten a chance to get it yet, but she's dope.
Well said.
Stream her.
Did anyone's, whether it be Apple Music Replay or Spotify Wrapped, did anyone feel like it did not accurately portray their a lot of you guys are already shaking heads.
Adrian got to go first.
Yeah, I got to go. Let me defend myself here, okay?
Adrian wrote like a dissertation inside the group text. Like, let me tell you why.
I feel like he emailed Drake. Accurate. Yeah, I was like, Drake, I don't appreciate your promo team pumping the streams. But no. I think, all right, so let me get into it. So for Spotify, right? I like Spotify because Spotify has the aspect of being able to follow an artist, mm-hmm. and then you can get the updates from the artist, and then you can get like new releases, and it comes to you, like you're notified of it. Whereas on Apple, you've got to go seek it out. And so that's a part of the, that's a big reason why I like Spotify over Apple. But, and also the playlists are fire on the algorithm based playlists on Spotify are way better than Apple from what I've seen.
We didn't ask for the low blows for Apple.
Yeah, word. 100%. It's valid. But to the Drake point, I listened to COB maybe max twice, maybe. And he came up as my number one streamed artist, which is crazy. Because I definitely streamed Mac Homie way more than that. Sinead way more than that. Genevieve is another one. We're talking about R&B. Genevieve came out with an album this year that I streamed way more than COB. So I don't know how they're playing the numbers, but Drake is dope. Don't get me wrong, but I didn't stream him like that. Mm. And I just had to put that out there because, you know what I mean? I look crazy out in these streets.
I feel like Adrian is this close to sending out a mass email that's like, was Drake on your Spotify Wrapped Up playlist?
They were on a lot of people's Spotify, yeah. And not even only Adrian I was hearing from that were saying, why is Drake my number one? Or even in my top five, like, why is he here? Because I was not listening to
him. It came out on one of my top five, one of his songs that I didn't even listen to. There's only one song that I did add on my 2021 playlist. Because every year I do a playlist of songs that I like. So I did add one song, but it wasn't even that song that was on it. So I was like, what the hell? Come on, Spotify. Mm-hmm.
I think my Apple Music replay captured, I felt like it was pretty accurate as far as the albums I played a lot. And I mean, for the most part, no surprise, a lot of it was just like rap shit, right? It was like, and it was like albums like, oh, damn, this came out earlier this year, and that felt like another lifetime ago. I don't know if you guys had that same moment. It was 100%. Like, oh, I played that in February? That felt like 2 years ago. But for mine, it was like Nas, King's Disease 2 was really high up there. J. Cole's off-season album was on there too. I forgot it came out. Like, so much music came out this year, I think it was just, some of it caught me by blind. But I did feel that Apple Music captured, and this was one of my favorite albums this year, was Leon Bridges' Gold Digger soundtrack album. I know I played that pretty heavy on my trip to when I went up to Georgia and whatnot. I played that like front to back. And then, I had Tyler Creator's album as well. An interesting one that I saw on here, which isn't relatively, it didn't come out this year, but I thought, once again, it was just a little more accurate, was Bob Marley's Legends album, which I think I played a lot after our reggae night. So I'm a Freddie, Team Apple Music all day. It had
Team
it right.
Apple Music. I will say that Apple flawed me a little bit because, like Adrian, mine wasn't Drake, but it was Kanye. Hmm.
And same.
I haven't fucked with Kanye really in the past few years. I'm like, he had an album out that I can really get behind
now,
in a minute.
Now, I think you got to keep in mind when it comes to the artist recaps, I think regardless if you're playing music that they put out this year, maybe you were playing like older albums or older music.
Well, Jesus is King, so I damn sure ain't that shit. That's damn sure ain't play that shit.
Because I think my top three artists was like Ye, Jay, and then Nas. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. I usually play a lot of their old discography anyways. Now, I want to take a shift from talking about new music. Well, actually, before I do, does anyone have anything to say about as far as like music that came out this year that really resonated with them or was among their favorite? Because I did want to mention that I thought Isaiah Rashad's The House is Burning album was fantastic. Like,
hell yeah.
That was one of the few albums that I played on Friday night. You know, it just dropped, like treated it like a new music Friday like celebration. Like, mm-hmm. I stayed home, hooked it up to like the Nice system, played the album front to back, and was like, damn, it feels, I got to do this more often. Like, just dedicate a Friday to listening to like new shit front to back, right? Yeah. So I thought that album was fantastic for this year.
The Isaiah Rashad was a pleasant surprise. Like, I didn't expect it, to be honest with you. Like, I knew it was coming, but I didn't expect it to be like a banger like that. And it's dope.
And so, I think it lived up to the hype too. Like, a lot of his, like, he's got such a diehard following, mm-hmm. That, you know, they kind of like, the hype is always pretty high. Right. And I thought he delivered
I think
immensely.
This year was a great year for women.
Mm.
Go ahead, Yaya.
Doja Cat came hard with her album. That would probably easily be my second or third top five album, at least. Doja Cat, Kali Uchis, of course. Mm. India's new album.
Wait. No one's going to mention Jasmine Sullivan. Hotels.
I was waiting my turn. I'm like, I was, I literally,
my number one album of the year.
Like,
It's a great year.
I'm like,
for
I'm
women.
Not speaking on purpose.
Look, I'm about to say.
You mentioned Freddie has no Allegra. Well, I'm,
true.
I'm not going to lie. I'm probably going to be that one person that's going to get a lot of shit for saying this.
She doesn't like
it. I am
like
not
it.
A fan of this last Jasmine Sullivan album. There, I said it.
Because Janita's ears fell off this
goodbye,
year.
Whatever.
Look, the fact canceled. That Tony has never grabbed one of our mics. And
I'm like, someone needs to say
he is flying.
He put down the camera.
He was flying his Jasmine Sullivan
Yo,
flag.
Yo, but hold
high.
On, though. But that Makami's Pray for Haiti was dope. And it was perfectly timed, too, because, perfect is a weird word to use for that. But because of the issues going on with Haiti with the earthquakes and all that, he dropped the album, and it is dope. It's a hip hop album. If y'all aren't familiar with Makami, again, I just shared it this past week, one of his most recent drops. So definitely check that album out. And I think, what's this guy, West Side Gunn?
Mm-hmm.
He was a bit heavy on the production for Pray for Haiti, too. And I think. Well, actually, I'll leave it at that. But nah, y'all check out Pray for Haiti. That shit is dope.
I got one. I got to say it.
Come on, Michael.
I already kind of mentioned before we started recording Tinashe. That's my girl. I love me some Tinashe. And I love me some like spacey R&B, like very like ethereal sounding, like out of experience type of stuff. So like that's her latest album that came out this year. It was called 333. And again, it's kind of in the same way that Janita already mentioned Doja Cat with her album Planet Her. It kind of has that, those same kinds of like, I'm in outer space. I'm making a whole different universe for my music. And this is where it lives. That's kind of what she did. And it's very experimental. It's very dope. It still has that same kind of like trap beats that everyone will gravitate to. And she's just a super dope creator. And I love her. And she was my actually number one listened artist on my Spotify Wrapped because that's my girl.
I love a good album that makes you feel like you're on drugs without being on drugs. You know, it's like that kind of like riding that wave.
That's always been her thing too. She has like she's had multiple mixtapes and EPs where it's been kind of that spacey theme of I'm taking you out of your experience and putting you somewhere else, which is what I like music to do. So, and she did that all independently. This is her first independent release. So.
That's
I'm
dope.
Just, I'm just proud of her.
I love That's to cool. hear that too. When people going, artists are going independent.
Yeah, yeah. And she was stuck on a record label for a really long time. She was with RCA, which is who Doja Cat's actually with. And now that Doja Cat's like the cash cow, like she gets all the, you know, the money, the love, and all that. And she left. I think Tinashe left maybe a couple of years ago, and this is her first independent release, and it's been received really, really well. And she was actually in the Forbes 30 under 30.
Okay.
Yeah, like this is a good year for her. Yeah. And like I'm like, damn, like I've been fucking with you since like two on. You know, like I love to get on. You know, like I've been messing with her since back in 2020 or 2012. So to see her like kind of have this year has been really awesome
That's
to see.
Up,
and the album is great. So if you want to listen to some good spacey R&B music.
333? 333. Okay. And shouts to Russ too. He just chomped two, independent artist. He just, you know, so I'm just thinking an independent vibe. So that's dope. That's I'll leave it at that.
Freddie, I'm gonna go to you for this next one because I think it's safe. I mean, we've said it a few times on the podcast already, but I think out of all of us, you've definitely got the largest collection. You also play. I'm not gonna debate with that, but you also play. I think safe to say your records the most. So I want you to think about your 2021 as far as records you've purchased and you know growing your vinyl collection. Do you think you could put a number? Do you think you can attach a number as far as how many records you bought this year alone?
I actually have an exact number.
Your friend,
I don't know if anyone else, but I put all my music into Discogs.
I need to. That was one of my things. I need to do a better job of tracking
but
it.
But I bought 143 records this year. Yes.
Big money is what we got a problem for your name.
I got a problem.
Big money, Fred.
One. Now, of those 140, how many of them were digital purchases from like a Discogs, Amazon, et cetera, versus like a brick and mortar purchase?
That I couldn't tell you. But I'd say they split pretty evenly. Tiger got me a lot.
Oh, no. Look, I told James, like, I was like, I'm glad I could help you make that first down payment on that Tesla. I think when I checked mine, it was like I bought six records online, like three on Discogs, three on Amazon. And then I think the mass majority were, of course, from like Tiger Records, but also like Wolfson's record here in town. And then in Orlando, I forgot I stopped in Orlando this year and went to the donut shop and picked up some albums. So I think for mine, it was like 40, 50 maybe records I bought this year, which, I mean, pales in comparison to, you know, a master right here.
Sheesh.
Adrian, I want to know, same question for you, because this was the year that you joined the crew, the podcast, and you got into record collecting as well. So, I mean, everything you've got is from this year.
It is.
What's your numbers looking like?
It pales in comparison. I've got like 24 records maybe. So that's
good, man.
Yeah, that's this year. And I try to stick to the 3 records per pod, you know what I mean? And then a spare every once in a while out there.
have you
we all know that he's the responsible adult in the group. He has a monthly budget, unlike the rest 100%.
Of us. 100%.
Have you gotten to the part now where you sneak buying records?
Oh, bro.
It's sneaking them into the house so Sabina
like,
don't
when
see.
I get my haircut, like I'm strategically trying to do it. Like, babe, I just a little long on the haircut. I'm going to go look at the records, you know what I mean? So Sabina is there. She's the accountant, the CFO of the Ross House.
Sabina's like, where did you spend $52? Where did it go? We got a pool to put in the backyard.
Yeah.
So 24 records this
24
year.
Records, man. Gotcha. 24 records.
And for the most part, I think yours are pretty much all brick and mortar purchases. Right?
Yeah, all brick and mortar. I haven't done anything online just yet. And as a matter of fact, I was talking to Adrian earlier about like buying on Discogs more to try to get more like those records that I really want. And I was actually talking to Michael about it. Like buying records, not just to have records in my house, but like actual shit that I want. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
What's been some of your favorite record purchases?
So I brought some of them. Cleo Soul. I brought that one. Yeah, you already know.
He mentions Cleo Soul at least once.
Hey, I bet you right now, if I go on my phone, type in Cleo Soul, and go with the text, it'll be Adrian Ross. Adrian Ross. But for good reason.
Yo, it's good. I'm telling you guys, if you haven't listened to her yet, take my freaking recommendation and go listen to her. Now we got her her first record, and it's cool because it came with album or like a little booklet too, which is cool. I like that. It's a little personal touch. You can see her life and stuff like that. And so you put it on. Also, it's kid friendly. I got, you know, kids, so it's something appropriate for the house. So it's a dope record. We put it on all the time.
Well said. Yeah. What's been some of your favorite record purchases this year?
I have purchased over 50 records this year. I know that.
Go ahead.
Because I have a stack of Boss at least lady. Like 20 to 30 records that I still haven't listened to. Because I refuse to be one of those people that purchase records and do not listen to their records. But shout out to James for Tiger Records because he actually gifted me a couple of them during the St. Augustine record day. So... and I got some gifts from other friends too that gifted me some records. So, but what was the second question? What was my favorite?
Yeah, what's been some of your favorite ones?
Obviously, I've been going through my salsa phase. So, my favorite one that I bought, which is I just bought recently from DJ Papi Disco, and I have to invite Freddie to come over and listen to it with some cafecito, is Willy Colon's. Wanted by the FBI. You know, it's one of the top most wanted vinyl records out, honestly, out there.
Wait, is it called the Big Break? Is that what it's on the front?
It's for the Big Break. No, it's Wanted by FBI for the Big Break, cool. La Gran Fuga, Willy Colon. It was during the time that La Fania was going through, like, their gangster phase. So a lot of the vinyls at that time, like, one of the vinyls is actually him and Hector Lavoe's, like, with like a 1930s car, and they're like dressed as gangsters with guns on them. So, so they were going through this like whole like phase of like being wanted by the government and all that. So this is one of my favorite albums from Willy Colon. Willy Colon is actually one of my favorite salsa artists. He's still alive, and I hope one day somebody does a movie about his life and everything. Although recently he's been in some controversy. We're not going to get in it. Whoever's handling his Twitter account, please take it away from him.
Just saying some wild shit.
That's all I'm going to say. But Willy Colon is definitely one of my favorites. And I think this is the last vinyl I bought, which was like 2 Wednesdays ago from DJ Papi Disco. Shout out to DJ Papi Disco.
Shout out.
Who is always going out there collecting and selling amazing vinyls. So.
He also gave me the biggest bear hug when went to the vinyl fair. And he whispered in my ear and said, get me on the fucking show. So we'll have, I kid. We'll have him on the show next year for sure.
He's going to be my guest.
Oh, that's
for
right.
Next
that's
month.
Right.
Next Sounds month good. Is salsa theme.
Yep.
We haven't done a salsa theme, so he will
get your
be,
dancing shoes
he's
on.
Actually that's our guest right. next month, so he's really excited.
Sounds good.
Like, really excited. I'm excited.
Freddie, how much time would you say that you spend listening to your records? Because, and you know, I brought up, I worked in your Instagram handle into the opening. Is that Fred for all of you that aren't following him yet? And you're always posting, you know, you playing. Hell, when I came in today to set up, you had your records playing. How much time total do you think you spend listening to your actual records on a, let's say, weekly basis, you think?
I try to listen every other day, at least a couple of records. Because if, you know, I take time, y'all can't see, but I have a problem with collecting plants as well. So while I'm watering all my plants, I throw on a vinyl. If I'm cooking, if I'm cleaning, I throw on a vinyl. Or half the time, I just make a pot of tea, sit down, get the lights going, make my own little date night.
Okay. I like it.
I swear to God, Freddie's voice matches his Zen personality. Like, it's such, it really does. It just made, I can imagine him making just tea so elegantly.
Yeah.
And then Tony coming in wrecking the vibe with his loud picture snapping. Oh, yeah.
Like, have you seen this TikTok?
Like, motherfucker, I've said a vibe. What is that?
So you said every other day, I'm assuming maybe what, a 2 to 3 hour session probably just playing?
Maybe not that long, but at least an hour.
Do you play a full record, like front and back, or do you just do, man, I'm just doing one side and a switch?
Sometimes I let the music take me where it wants to take me.
I should expect it. I don't force. That's a very Freddie answer. I like that. Tony, I'm actually going to pivot to you and ask because I'm assuming that anytime that Freddie is probably out and about shopping for records at a brick and mortar, you're also there as well. What has been your year in record collecting? What's it look like? What are some of your favorite purchases?
I think I bought about the same amount. I think I bought at least 150 records this year. It's been a lot. And I think it's more on the online side than it was at brick and mortar. I think maybe at like 40-60 split. As far as like top records I bought this year was the, I don't even know how to say his name, Joji? J-O-J-I. He's a Japanese artist.
I think that sounds right.
Joji, yeah.
Joji, yeah. I wanted this album, the Ballads album, from 2018. It's his first album. It's like so vibey, R&B. He's also the first Asian artist to reach number one on the Billboard Top 100 for R&B. But I mean, that came out 2018, and that's not, I finally found it this year because I think somebody online re-released it. So there's like things like that that I can't really find. I think Duran Jones and Indications I found at Tiger Records, but that came out this year. And Ari Lennox was also online because she released her first EP, the Pho EP, on vinyl for the first time this year. And that just came out maybe like a month ago.
Two of the records you just named are, actually, you were the reason that inspired me to buy them. The Duran Jones album, I think you had planned when I came to do a headshot, and I was like, man, this is a great album front to back. And of course, the Ari Lennox. So thank you for the heads up on that.
And shouts to you for introducing me to Duran and the Indications. He took me to a concert at, what was it, Blind Jackrabbits. Yeah. So,
Adrian, while I got you on the mic, I want to know, what's been your favorite theme that we've done this year? Because that is an accomplishment that I think I'm proud of on definitely behalf of us, is that we got this podcast up and running this year. You know, this is episode 8, so we put out 8 episodes, which, you know, it's kind of a small number when you consider how long we've been doing it this entire year, but still proud nonetheless. What's been your favorite theme that we've done this year?
I saw that question, and it's a tough one, man, because for me, this year has been like, it's, you know, this is all new. You know what I mean? Like, I've been one of those folks who just streams their music online. And so just the fact that I've got a, you know, tactile music experience now with folks who are into that, it's like, this has all been a whirlwind. So I'm gonna take the cop out and say that I love all of it, but I'll answer your question in another way. The one that I learned the most from was the Gay Icons one.
Well said.
Yeah. You know, I learned about the Lamely. You know what I mean?
First appearance of Michael.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey.
I learned a lot that pod. And so, you know, that's the one that kind of like is imprinted in my mind. You know what I mean?
I like the way you rephrase that question too, because my answer is the Reggae Night. Okay. I think that one resonates with me the most because it's where I learned, I think, the most about a genre that I maybe had a one-dimensional view going in. You know, I think I just kind of knew the very high level stakes of it, but getting to learn about like its roots history and, you know, how it's influenced a lot of other genres, mm-hmm. but specifically like my favorite genre, hip hop, you know, and having, you know, Energy as our guest was
shout out to Energy.
Was fantastic.
She's
the one that, like as far as being an ambassador for that, for reggae and that music, like I couldn't have asked for a better guest.
And the placement was really good. You know what I mean? From African diaspora to reggae, you know, it was super dope. So
well said.
Yeah.
Janero, what about you? What's been your favorite theme?
My favorite theme podcast was actually the one Adrian picked out, the
African diaspora.
African diaspora. I think I learned so much about it, about just the rhythms, where it comes from, and the background of the drums, and how they identify with their village, and blah, 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 and just how it's affected every single genre. So I really, really, really enjoyed that one. And it was so hard because I was like, what the hell? What kind of theme is this? But it was a really fun theme for sure.
Yeah. Adrian's, I mean, and you know, it's Adrian's nature and fashion. He had us, I know for me, I went and studied. I was like, well, yo, let me go ahead and get smart. Let me go
He's
get
a
smart enough.
In the group. Yeah. Always having us to do work.
And then we had Nick Fresh there, which is the mind of music.
Man,
yeah,
that was well said. And we all learned maybe the most valuable lesson we've learned in the 8 episodes we've been doing this podcast, which is vinyls is not plural. There is no plural form.
It's vinyl, not vinyls.
Yeah. Oh my God, I did that the other day on accident, and here he comes. Yeah. Vinyl.
I hear, whenever I'm about to say the word, I hear his voice in my head, and now it's vinyl every time.
100%.
Every time.
100%. Also, Mr. Farrakhan apparently put out music, which was
That was
incredible.
A great learning experience with that, that ill little jam. Yeah, had a good little break. Freddie, I want to know, you know, as we get to wrapping up this episode, and you know, this episode being mainly a, you know, looking back at the year, I want to maybe look towards the future, right, and looking into next year, 2022. And since, you know, we're a music themed podcast, what are some of your music related goals for next year? And when I say that, I'm talking about, you know, do you have any goals to see any live acts? Do you want to do any traveling to see shows? Or do you got anything on your, you know, holy grail list when it comes to record hunting?
So for me, this year has been, I would like to start by saying that I'm not big on live shows in general. But this year has been probably the most shows I've seen in my lifetime. So because me and Tony went to see Chicago. We went to see... not Kate Renata,
Thundercat.
Thundercat.
Went to Colorado.
We saw the Revolution.
The Plain White Tees.
Saw the Plain White Tees. Another low blow for Major.
No, that's not a low blow.
Don't come for Plain White Tees now, okay? Yeah, don't come for Plain White Tees.
No, okay. His voice, you knew it was. He was just Plain White Tees.
Well, I mean, no, he said it as factual.
It is a factual
Granted,
thing.
He might have said it. He said it with a little salt and pepper on it, a little spice. But yeah, this.
Hey there, Delilah.
Yeah. All right.
Certified banger.
A song
okay?
of a generation, okay? Everybody know that song.
Yeah, enough said.
But I'm starting to fall in love with going to shows. And next year we're going to, what's it called, Tony?
Day of Soul.
In L.A.?
Day of Soul?
Smoking Grooves.
Smoking Grooves, which the headliners are Erykah Badu, Miguel.
That's the one in Las Vegas?
It's going to be L.A.
In L.A.
So that's I'm really looking forward to that.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I'm excited because I'm going on that trip too. So I am super, super excited for that. There's some concerts that really, you're like, God damn, do I not want to pay my electricity bill for the next 2 months? But this one's worth it. I mean, all those artists in one festival, it's so I look forward to that one next year for sure.
Are you going to continue growing your vinyl collection, Yanira?
100%. That's not going to stop. I was just telling everybody, I don't spend money on nails. Shout out to my girl, Lucy.
As you're sitting here,
Lucy
like,
Pretty Nails.
Right? I know, I'm blinded right now.
Shout out to my girl, Lucy Pretty Nails. You know, I'm one of her nail girls.
Looking like new. I always got new.
I don't spend money on my curl, on my hair. So the one thing I do spend money is on my vinyl. Like that's my habit that I don't mind spending $50 here and there a month, not weekly. But as far as concerts, you know, I've always been a concert girl. I work in radio, so I'm constantly in shows. But because of COVID, that slowed down, obviously. But this year has been a great year. This year, I saw Mark Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
For the sixth time. I've seen Mark Anthony live six times, and he never fails. I saw Incubus in St. Augustine. I saw Revolution. And my all-time, I wanted to go to Red Rock Amphitheater, so that was on my bucket list, and to be able to see it with my best friends and like with the full moon and like a reggae concert, and just it was just a dream, honestly. It was really a movie moment. And who else did I see this year? I brought Oscarito for Viva La Fiesta, and that was really cool. And so this year for me was a good year for music, for concerts. And I know next year working in radio again is picking up again. So I'm going to see Gilberto Santa Rosa here in Jacksonville. What? And he's like a salsa icon. Legend. So I'm really excited that he's going to be here on February 14th. And I'm part of that show. So,
big things.
You know, I'm really excited. So we got to talk. He'll be here. So it's going to be a good year. Like, things are picking up little by little. Justin Bieber's coming to Jacksonville for those who love Jay Biebs. He will be here. Okay. Yeah. Michael got really excited. I don't know. I wish you guys would see how excited Michael got. Yeah. He just choked on his drink.
I was so excited. I almost just died choking on my drink.
Michael, what's your music goals for next year? You got any shows lined up?
That's actually a really, really good question. So next year I'm planning on moving to New York. So I think that my music goal, because like I was speaking to many people earlier about this, people love to announce their tour dates and leave out Florida. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times. Jasmine Sullivan did it. if Tony wants to talk about Jasmine Sullivan, here I am. Yeah. She don't want to come to Florida, huh?
No. You see how he walked out of the room, announcing dates.
He stormed
Jasmine
out.
Jasmine coming for us. Don't worry, Jasmine's coming.
But it is kind of a trend too. But also, just I know, just being like a native New Yorker, that the music scene up there is so dynamic. Things are changing. Things pop up. Like, you can wake up one day and be like, oh, I'm going to see my favorite artist tonight. Hmm. You know, like, things will just kind of happen like that. So, on the same trend of talking about live music, I want to see a lot more live shows. I love live music. The hardest thing about the quarantine was not being able to see live music. Mm. The last concert that I went to was right before quarantine started, with Jaja at Cuba Libre, seeing Evie Queen, another New York Puerto Rican monarch. Yeah. She is amazing. I literally always talk about how like that was my like last pre-quarantine concert. And it was great. Like you went out there, you had people, Latinos from every country. At one point she was like, where are my Salvadorians at? Where are my Hondurans at? Where are my Puerto Rican? Ah, like,
it was
crazy. So like that energy you don't find listening to Spotify or even vinyl. Like you gotta be
there in person.
In it. You gotta be in it. So seeing more live music, getting into that New York music scene and seeing what I can make out of it is probably my favorite.
But talking about live music, I do want to take a little bit on the bad side, on the negative side, because we do have to acknowledge what happened in Astroworld and all
Exactly, of course.
And I just want to be honest, like working in the world, in the music world and entertainment world, even interning for huge festivals in Orlando, this is not something this is not out of the norm. Hmm. I'm not saying this is normal. It doesn't happen in every festival, but it does tend to happen in bigger festivals and events. So, you know, it's unfortunate what happened. Me being a promoter and organizer of festivals, someone that works in the music entertainment, someone that has worked with artists, who's, you know, been in every single scene in that aspect and looking at it, it's really hard. And it's hard. And I know everybody wants to put the blame on the promoters and on the artists and all that. But when you're in a situation like that and the crowd is so big, it's hard, you know, to control something like that. So my respects to everybody, R&P to everybody. It's so hard to even put into words on how we can even fix a situation like that. I mean, I tend to think, I'm like, what can we do to like justify or make things, like, should we start doing quad festivals? You know what I mean? Like, we're split up like how they did in the UK, but then the ticket sales are going to be more because then that means less people. So that means instead of you paying $50 for a ticket because you can fit 50,000 people, now I'm going to only be able to fit 25,000 people. So now instead of charging you 50, now I got to charge you 150 for a ticket. Yeah. So it's, those are things that people have to take in consideration. And like, if you find yourself in a big crowd, be smart, y'all. Like, why do you need to push to the front? Like, I really don't understand what's the put. Like, they're not going to see you. The artists can only see literally the first couple of rows and that's it. Like, you'll be all fine in the back. Enjoy it. Make new friends and just have fun.
I think a big thing is, like, we need to be educating ourselves on spaces like that. Everyone loves live music, but if you're in a big crowd for any reason, there's a risk of being in a big crowd just for any, like, being in, like a packed club. Just for, it's still a risk. And I think club promoter or promoters, organizers, they should have measures in that you know instance, and also we should be educating ourselves, and they should be educating us on how to stay hydrated, giving people waters when they need them. You know, like, have stations where we can get people water, food, like if they need help. Like, there's no reason there should be an ambulance driving through a crowd of people. Like, there's no reason for that.
Like, I think a lot of times promoters want to get the most out of their money. So, like, they oversell it. We have a good friend. I'm not going to put herself out there, but we have a friend who went to a Miguel concert in Orlando, and she doesn't do drugs. She drinks, but not like that. She was there by herself that night because she's a huge Miguel fan. And she passed out because of how hot it was.
It's hot,
it wasn't because of XYZ. Yeah. It was just because of how hot
I've come
it
close
was.
To passing out quite a few times at concerts. And not even like because of like, you know, drinking or like being on a substance. It's just like,
you're so packed.
I am in a sardine can.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And I'm catching a few elbows in the face.
So I think what it is, one, promoters either have to cut back on the ticket sales, or two, venues are going to have to do better in the air circulation of the venues. Like, you know, nowadays, baby, them air units from 1990 don't work no more.
You gotta amp them up a little bit.
Hopefully.
No, for sure. It's a culture about it too, because I was just at a concert for A Day to Remember and Asking Alexandria at the amphitheater, which is, they're like pretty, I wouldn't say they're like super hard rock, but they're up there, they be screaming, you know, a little bit. So, you know, there's a whole culture of, if you're gonna be in a mosh pit, people are gonna be hitting you and da da da.
Yeah,
I swear to God, if one person fell or lost their balance or on the floor, everybody stops, picks them up. Everyone's good. Okay, let's go back.
But
to
that's the
culture.
But that's because it's that's the culture. They know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And the thing
cautious.
Is, like, for Travis Scott, a lot of those kids were young. Like, that was one of their first few, if not their first concert experience.
Yeah.
And they don't really know how to navigate that space. And that's why I'm saying, like, education is probably the biggest thing. Like, you have to be able to know, once you're in a crowd, what do? If you're feeling a little bit fainty, or, you know, you're dehydrated or whatever, you can't move. Like, what do? Like, people need to be like more educated, and that's more so on the people that are taking the money from these people. You know, like, it's their responsibility to keep everybody safe. Their security for a reason. You're accepting that liability. So I just hope that going forward, the concerts, the big ones, will get more on that boat, so less tragedies like this have to happen.
Agreed. Damn.
Hope those victims.
Michael, well said.
We've had multiple conversations
that's
about
good.
This, too.
Yeah,
we both feel very strongly
really
about it. Yeah.
And because, again, because I know I'm a huge concert, and so are you.
Yeah.
So I, because I do put on events, I do put on festivals, I have worked those kind of big festivals. I've seen, unfortunately, things like that happen. So, but now it's time for promoters like myself and venues to really be cautious and smart about it. If we need to charge an extra $25
for safety,
because we need to get cut back on the numbers, then it is what it is. Like, as a fan, I will pay for that.
I'm already paying a lot already.
For real.
Another $25.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So well, it's like everyone can go home. That's great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Freddie, how about you help me wrap up this recording here, and let's talk about the records that you brought, because I think it's time for us to play some music, man. So tell us about.
Time to pour some more drinks.
So tell us about the records you brought. We'll go around and then we'll get this thing wrapped up.
We're sticking with the three, right?
Yeah, okay. Stick with three.
So,
well, honestly, if you want to just briefly mention, just tell us all
I
the
got
records.
Some honorable mentions.
There you go. Let's do that.
But you know, I'm a man of little words, so we're good. So for my first one I picked was The Room by Ricky Reed. This is like an experimental house vibe. You'll definitely recognize some of the tracks on here.
Okay.
But definitely like a druggy house experience, but not too fist pumpy.
Got it. So had we gone with Tony's theme, that would have got us all in trouble with our employers. That would have been the one.
Yeah. That was one of my selections, yes.
Okay.
This one was a gift. This is Fred again. This was actually a song from this album was my top played song of the year.
Oh, wow.
So this is definitely more on the dance house vibes. I might be the only one that really pumps dance house music. AB on it too. But yeah, this dope producer out of the UK, and he put together all these beats, and then he just looped all the conversations he had with his friends during Corona.
Oh wow, that's
so
pretty
cool. A lot of like inspirational quotes and stuff going on, but it's super dope album.
I love me a good little theme album like that.
Hell yeah.
This soul joint I bought from Little Beaver called Party Down. You'll definitely recognize.
Does it have that song that Jay samples?
The Jay-Z
Not
joint.
The groove.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. This real funky soul, super sexy. Ooh. As you tell by the cover, you know, he thought he was a shit.
Sir, are those
got
leather
big
pants?
Guitar, got a big guitar on him.
He in the kitchen.
Got the hat to the side. You can't tell him nothing.
Real quick, just in case we want to see that, what's the name of that album one more time? Just in case people want to see the cover.
Little Beaver.
Yeah, it's self-titled, I guess.
Party Down.
Party there you go. Yeah, look at this cover, people. It's worth it.
This was probably one of my biggest albums that I wanted for the longest. He did a reissue during 2020, like late 2020, and it came out in 2021. But prior to that, these albums were going for like, it's only five songs, but it's only, it was going for like 500 to $1,000. Only for five fucking songs.
Damn.
But this is Zoo, Night Day. This is EP.
You're bringing me back to like 2011, 12.
Yeah, man. This is good. I can't wait to play this one.
Yeah.
And, because of TikTok, I bought this and the album ended up being super dope. This is Hi-Fi Set sings. I don't want to mispronounce this. You Ming. It's definitely a Japanese funk album.
Fire.
That cover is dope.
Yeah, super RC. You'll recognize the joint.
So you're saying thanks to Tonya on that one because of TikTok?
Yeah, because when I'm down here listening to my vinyl, minding my business, he comes down here and asks me if I'm. And this one, I watched that documentary on Hulu about the concert series in New York.
Wait, is it the Questlove one?
Yeah.
Summer of Soul?
Summer of Soul.
Got it, yes. Yeah.
And this artist performed on it. Masekela. I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, too. Introducing Hindenzoli sounds, which is like an African jazz funk album.
Like a precursor to Afrobeats.
He plays the trumpet.
Got it.
So after watching that documentary, I looked up these, and I couldn't find them anywhere on Discogs or anything. And literally the next day, Tiger Rex had posted this on his website.
Crazy.
On his
Instagram. I'm sorry, it's not like he just, his timing is
I was like, Tiger
little.
Was yeah. listening to me, man. Shout out to James. And I copped it right then.
Oh, yeah.
Not realizing how much it cost. But this is a rare album.
Just give us a range. Give us a range.
I traded for it. How about that? It cost so much, I had to make a trade.
He was like, look, I got one rim that I don't use anymore. So you want that from the car?
But yeah, those my joints right there.
All
right.
What about you, Yaya? Let's go, Yaya.
Hello, everyone. Well, like I said earlier, Willie Colon, wanted by the FBI for the big break, La Gran Fuga. It's definitely one of my top vinyls. And he's just one of my favorite. One of my top vinyl.
Nick, get her, Nick.
Lord, oh, no. Nick Fresh is like rolling in his bed right now.
He's like, I'm never Somebody coming back said to it. The pod.
But, you know, Willie started off as a trombone player in the salsa world. And then he started writing songs. And then he became a singer himself and started dropping albums. And you would have never thought a trombone would be a trombone player.
It's so funny because I'm looking at the vinyl right now and it says armed with trombone and considered dangerous.
Yes,
on it right there.
Who would have thought
armed with a trombone
would be the instrument. And then I bought Amy Winehouse, Lioness Hidden Treasure.
Fire. It's still in the plastic,
one of my
too.
Favorite. No, it's still, it's open though.
Oh, okay.
But it's my one bones. Of my favorite albums of all mm-hmm. time, of all time. I think it's probably one of my top five albums. It has some of my favorite songs, Halftime, Wake Up Alone, the original recording of Wake Up Alone, The Girl from Ipanema.
She has such a good version of
Valerie. I mean, this album, how can you not consider this album top five ever if you're a music lover? Amy Winehouse is just one of those that will never, she's just timeless.
Can I share something personal real quick? For some reason, Blythe's mom's name is Valerie. And the only way I could remember it in the beginning was by humming Valerie by Amy Winehouse. Nice. I'd be like, Valerie. Oh, hey, Valerie.
Why don't you come Valerie?
That's good. And then, of course, you also brought the Cali Uchis album.
And, of course, Cali Uchis, which is my favorite album of the year, Sin Medida. It's a Spanglish album. And she effing killed it, man. She killed it with this damn album. And she made a remix with SZA on one of the songs, with SZA singing in Spanish. You still don't understand what the hell she says.
Not at all. I was about
I don't
to say,
understand nothing in SZA in
but
English.
But the thing is, you can't hear it in English.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
So, shout out to SZA. We love you, Bill. And those are the three Bad Mama Jammas I brought this
fantastic
year, today.
Snaps for that one.
Yes.
Adrian, right. What you bring, man?
So for me, I went back, and again, I'm establishing my collection here. So I had to go and bring some bangers that I know I can listen to front to back. So Good Kid, Mad City, Kendrick Lamar. Went ahead and copped that one and put that in the collection. You know, it's Kendrick, man. Good Kid, Mad City. What do you want me to do?
You can't be mad at it. You can't.
Yeah.
It's a great album.
Exactly. So I got that one. And then you already know.
Of course.
Miss Cleo.
If you don't know what she looks like, this is what she looks like, y'all.
You could have just said, and then I brought the album.
And we
were like, yeah.
The album by Miss Cleo Soul, Sabina's favorite album. So, yes, got that one in there. I'll share that. There's actually, like I said, a little leaflet that came with it. And I'll send this around so you guys can see it. But take a look at it.
Okay.
I'm imposing this on you.
Y'all about to look at Cleo today.
You gonna learn her today.
He's like, memorize this face.
Yes, please.
Y'all about to see Cleo today, okay?
Exactly. And then, you know, it's quarantine, right?
Yep.
The score by the Fugees is the album. It's a classic. 1996 is the year, you know, golden year for music, R&B and hip hop in the US anyways. I love this whole album. But The Mask is the one that I want to play when we play music, because obviously, you know, everyone's wearing a mask. So
I had just seen like a short YouTube documentary thing about the Fugees and how crazy pivotal that album was for their careers.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like how their earlier works were like kind of like on the underground, up and coming, until they just blew up with this album and it just went everywhere. And it's a crazy story. Like that. I already knew that was like a goated album.
Of course.
Everyone
it's what made them a global
but
phenomenon.
But like when you really learn about like the story behind it, it's like they really just changed.
For sure.
I think
about like when they broke up and how many people wanted them back just because based on that one album.
Yeah,
right?
Just that one album.
Yeah.
Michael, I see you got one album pulled out.
I got one.
What you got? I pulled
out one out of my little.
Sometimes
shelf.
You just need one special one, one really good one.
Again, this is also not an album that I think was released this year, but I did buy
it
this year. Yeah, it was released I think last year or even 2 years ago. This
yeah,
is kind of an old
2 years
album.
Ago.
But what a great album, La Rosalía. El Mal Querer. This is one of her first. I think she had one album before this, but this was like
her
first that really kind of hit.
See.
It's got Malamente on it, which everyone knows. Hey, Malamente. Yeah, you know, everyone knows that joint.
Everyone's moving.
But one thing I love about albums too, and I was talking to I think Adrian about this, about how I collect vinyl that I know I listen to on Spotify, but I want in a physical form because I love the album. There's something more with the actual vinyl release. This has a great photo book.
Amazing.
I can pass this around too if we're doing
Let's
that.
Let's do it.
But this is also a great concept album. It's all about just spirituality and Christianity and birth and just reinventing marriage and jealousy and breakups and all these different things. Like, she has songs called, like, they're in Spanish, but there's a song called, like, A Wedding, Jealousy, Sadness, like, there's a Holy Conception. There's just so many things going on in here, and she's just such a creative
and the
person.
Cover, the picture alone of her, it's just so beautiful.
When I looked at it even closer, it looks like she has a shower curtain on her hands, on her arms.
And that's a gold chain, right?
But you know what? She made it art. Yes, you know did. What? She made it art because look at her. She looks divine.
She does.
She looks absolutely divine.
Yo, I think you should be that for Halloween next year. But
maybe
a
walk around with a shower curtain.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so she did an amazing thing with this album. She really set the stage for her the rest of her career because now she's like
one of the top.
You know, she just released a song with The Weeknd. Mm-hmm. So like she's now crossed over. And she really doesn't even do like English music.
No.
She still does Spanish music, but she's collabing with all these English artists. She's all over the place. She's doing literally everything. So this is what really, you know, triggered her into all of that. And I really love this album. I'm going to pass this photo book around because it's amazing. And yeah, Rosalía.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Michael, I must say this. When you make that your inevitable move to New York, I hope that you find a really good music podcast to join or start one because I love hearing your breakdowns of music.
Yes,
and you describe it so well.
Miss you.
Yeah, we are.
I love music. Like, I love music. The first time y'all had me on this podcast, I was like, this is so exciting because I'd be like really talking people's ears off, talking about music. Like, oh my God, I love music.
If you go to Michael's apartment, he has a wall and it's all color coordinated, and I love it. Of his favorite album covers.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, and it's like, you know, and I think it's amazing. It's art. So,
he's dedicated to music. Anything that even gets a conversation started about music, I'm like, that's it. For Tony, Jasmine Sullivan, she's on my wall. She's up there. That's my girl.
Not this last album, but she's up there.
It's not the last. It's not Hotels, but it's Reality Show. So it's you know, she's up there.
That's cool.
Yeah, all right.
Let's talk about you, Botter. Yeah, what are the vinyls you brought in?
I see some real good ones.
So I went ahead and grabbed all my favorite ones that I got this year, right? So first up is Biggie's Ready to Die LP, right? Cost me a pretty penny. But
that's the original LP, right?
No, this is the 2004 remaster.
The remaster.
Okay.
The original one is, you know, from 94, still a little pricey. Though. But this year, the Biggie documentary came out this year. I Got a Story to Tell, the Netflix one. It came out early, like, I think February, if I'm not mistaken. I watched that, and it was just one of those, like, you ever watch, like, a good documentary, and that's kind of all that's kind of occupying your time and energy? You're like, man, I just want to really dive more into this topic. And Biggie was kind of it. It just kind of revitalized, like, reminded me, like, damn, I really fucking love Biggie, and it sucks that we lost him so young. And I think one of our events, Freddie, you had brought like a Biggie record or something, and it made me realize I was missing Biggie a lot in my collection. So
yeah, I got the Vinyl Me Please edition.
Ah, okay. Well, when we went to the vinyl fair, when I seen this, I knew I kind of had to have it. So it's just been a year of me listening to Biggie a lot. The second one that I brought that I also got this year is this Donald Byrd album. And Donald Byrd is a jazz and R&B trumpeter, right? So a lot of this is just mainly instrumentation, but he's got like some vocals as well. He's got some very fly ladies singing on it. But this album is called Places and Spaces, and there's a song called Wind Parade that has been sampled by like everybody from like Snoop Dogg, Currency, some other folks as well. I can't recall, but I want to play Wind Parade for everybody because I've been looking for this album for a minute. Another little pricey soul joint. One of the few albums I got from Discogs is, this is definitely a bootleg, but it's like, I needed this. It is a mixtape by Mick Boogie called God's Gift, and he mashes up Jay-Z and Nas together on like different beats. And it came out in 2005, and it was the same year that Jay and Nas squashed their beef. Jay brought out Nas on the big I Declare War concert. I mean, it was like a moment. Mm-hmm. In hip-hop. I remember being in my computer class, like, reading all the articles, having my brain blown. And Mick Boogie, who was he's a DJ who does a lot of mashups and a lot of rap projects. And I thought graduating, I was going to be a mixtape DJ. That's how much he inspired me. So when I seen that they had a bootleg version of this on vinyl, I had to grab it. And then I'm just going to share these two together. One of them being Killer's Hot Fuss.
Hell yeah.
I think we were talking about like doing a rock night or something like that. And I realized, I was like, well, I don't have any Killer's albums on vinyl. And the Killers are straight up like one of my favorite. I know for some it's like the Killers really, but for me, Hot Fuss was one of them albums that I heard like
Michael's face when you said.
No, like yeah, I totally get what you're saying about.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right,
more generic, but that's a classic album.
Exactly. Right there. Yeah. Hot Fuss was an album that I heard for the first time after like getting out of boot camp, like really kind of first diving into alternative and like indie music, and you know, hearing like and I think it was like Drew or a friend of mine playing this album. I was like, yo, this is some of the best rock shit I've ever heard. Yeah. And I mean, I play this album to death. So I bought this album this year. And then, of course, I went ahead and bought Leon Bridges' album that came out this year, okay. Gold Digger's soundtrack, because it was just one of my favorite records of the year. So I'll play some of that.
I figured you like the Linkin Park Jay-Z mashup.
Oh, that was pretty hot plot too. And I want to say, I want to share one more thing, because it's kind of been my tradition as far as like bringing gifts for the crew and whatnot. Adrian, if you'll hand me that brown box in the back.
So we getting our clocks.
We're finally gonna find out what's in the box.
So
everyone's like,
Christmas
what?
Gifts? I'm so excited. Look.
So one of the things I got to do this year was I started, playing around with like, arts and craft shit. And I wanted to make some clocks for the crew, for the next spin crew. Yanira, that one is yours. Adrian, this one is yours. There's only two versions, all right? Freddy. And then Tony.
I was going to say, are you sure you didn't belong to Adrian? Adrian has the St. Drake one, too.
All right, look.
It'd be funny if it was Kanye.
So, look. So, for our listeners that might not know, I've been making clocks out of vinyls, and I've gotten a chance to experiment with, going from basic clocks to, adding stickers and doing different things. So
thank you, Adrian, my gift to you guys.
I love it. Dude, I got to put a battery in it. Look, yes.
I got some batteries. Don't worry. I got you. I got some double A's.
He said batteries not included.
Nah, I got it. But Freddie and Tony Roon, y'all surprised. Last time we met, I was like, you motherfuckers, y'all are getting clocks. But hopefully you guys enjoy them.
Yes.
It's been a blast doing this podcast. And I want to address the listeners and let them know that kind of brings us to the end of our show, Spinheads. We hope you enjoyed the show today. I want to just remind you guys to make sure to follow Next Spin on Instagram for photos from this meetup, as well as our weekly top five playlist. And I just want to reiterate, man, we've made a lot of progress and had a lot of success for such a young podcast. I didn't think that we'd end up on a list this year. I didn't even know there was a list for record collecting podcast or whatever that was. But I've been really proud of Next Spin. I'm hoping we get to continue doing it into next year and doing even more episodes and expanding the show. So from the bottom of our hearts, I think I speak for all of us when I say, listeners, thank you so much for being a part of the Next Spin family. Oh yeah, definitely. And once again, if you're new to the show, hopefully we made you a lifelong friend as well. And hopefully, you tune in going forward. Please make sure you subscribe to the podcast and share it with a fellow music lover, man. We're still a young pod, regardless of our success this year. But we still need all the help we can to spread the word. And it's a small thing to ask, all right? Subscribe to the show, rate and review it if you can. Share it with someone that you think would enjoy it. It would mean a whole lot to us. In the meantime, take care of yourselves. Have a great holiday season, a fantastic new year, a Merry Christmas, and all that, regardless of what you celebrate. Enjoy your holiday season. Have a great new year.
And slight mention that this is basically our 1 year birthday. We've been doing this.
It is. Wow. A lot of reasons to celebrate today. Hell yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Come on. With that being said.
Happy birthday.
With that being said, Spinhead.
Happy birthday.
Come back in January for the next spin.
Happy birthday to us.
Take us to church.
You better, bitch.